Okay, with this hour, our final hour with Frosty Wooldridge, we're going to take your phone calls. And I know this is a very emotional topic for you, whether you are pro this immigration, legal or illegal, or against it. I'm going to ask you just to contain yourself a little bit. I know it's emotional, but let's get some good questions asked and some good answers from Frosty, okay? Back with Frosty Wooldridge. His website, of course, is his name, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We'll get to your calls. We've got a whole bank of calls from all over the place for you, Frosty. What does religion say about this, Frosty? Are they for it, against it? What do they say?
Well, unfortunately, the Catholic Church, the Islamic Church, and many of the other ancient religions like Hinduism still exist back in the first century, the sixth century, and before that. And thus far, you won't see or hear of them advocating for birth control and, in fact, advocate against it. And, you know, I know it's difficult for everyone, but we have to overcome the past, and we have to overcome the rituals of the past or the myths of the past. And we've got to deal with reality. And as sensitive as I am, and I'm the kind of guy that something, I see a child getting hurt or falling down on his knees, I hurt, I cry. I hate cruelty to animals like crazy. And yet I hate even worse the kinds of consequences that are coming toward America. And, you know, one of the things that most Americans don't realize right now is we're having our culture completely displaced by massive population. And this is another quote that I think everyone will identify with here in this country, and I'm quoting, "Any culture that will not defend itself against displacement through mass immigration faces extinction. That includes both time-tested and successful cultures. Embracing diversity results in cultural suicide. America's multicultural path guarantees its destruction via cultural clashes and conflict with Islam, Mexican, and African cultures that diametrically oppose American culture. The more diverse a country, the more destructive and broken down its future. The more people, the more it destroys its quality of life and standard of living. The more it adds immigrants, the more destruction to its environment. The more it imports refugees, the faster that America, Canada, Europe, and Australia lose their own ability to function and their own national identities. Exponential growth of any civilization leads ultimately to collapse. You see it in Africa, India, and China today. You will see it in Europe, Canada, Australia, and America in the coming years if Western countries don't stop all forms of immigration," unquote.
Frosty, is their situation that bad in the countries they are in where they have to get out of there?
Yes, yes, they are. Those, I can tell you firsthand, I've seen more, you can go, it's called the Human Misery Index. 10,000 children, excuse me, 10 million children starve to death or die from starvation-related diseases every year. That goes on every year. I saw that up close and personal in my world travels. That if you go to India or Bangladesh, your heart gets ripped out every day. I mean, gets ripped right out of you. So please understand that my emotions and my feelings about this for humanity weep daily because of what we're seeing happening to the human race. But also, look at the animal creatures on our planet. We're losing 100 different species every single day now, according to Norman Myers out of Oxford University in his 20-year study on the sixth extinction session. I mean, this thing is so huge. And yet, if we create this debate and this discussion, we must come to a logical understanding with rational decisions and rational choices toward a viable future. So please understand, my pain is probably greater than most people's pain because I have seen the damage. I've scuba dived in all the oceans of the world. I've seen the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. I've seen the poisoning. I've even scuba dived into the dead zones, the 10,000 and 20,000 square mile dead zones. we're doing just extraordinary damage to the planet's biosphere, and yet we're not doing anything to change it. We're simply following the same path that has created, destruction of other societies before ours. And that's why I think you can tell the passion in my voice.
Oh, of course.
Tell the certitude in my understanding. I researched this. This stuff is going to happen to us unless we change course. And that's why a discussion on the George Norrie Show across the world is allowing such a discussion and such a debate so that we might, as a species and in the world, give ourselves a chance in the 21st century and all other living creatures on the planet.
All right, let us now go to the phones. Let's go to David in Spokane, Washington, first and foremost. Hey, David, thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to make a couple points to Frosty and yourself about issues about immigration that are totally missed by all the people in the media.
Yeah.
First of all, if you look at the countries where they have populations that are exploding, like Mexico, I think, has the highest birth rate in the world, and Egypt is another one.
Oh,
the population is just exploding. And
mm-hmm.
if you look at these countries, what you'll find is they have no incentive to stop their surplus population to coming to Europe or the United States.
Right.
In fact, their incentive, I've heard that something like 40% of the economy in Mexico is wages sent back from the United States.
That's
so
correct.
Their incentive is just to send more people up here so they can send more money back.
You are correct. $80 billion a year, and Mexico actually gets around $25 billion per year sent back in cash transfers.
So why should they do anything about controlling their population or stopping immigrants from coming here? They don't want to. They want to keep things just as they are. The other point I wanted to make was I live here in Spokane, Washington. And here in Spokane, it's a kind of an ugly joke that half the people here are making minimum wage and the other half are on food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to be, there's several, Spokane is sort of a retirement town, so there's several retirement buildings that are HUD associated with the federal government and the state government and Section 8 and whatnot. And there's something peculiar that I've noticed going on. Most of these places, they have a majority of people from other countries. And what's really peculiar about that is that these people are in their 60s and 70s, and these people are never, ever going to speak English. They're never going to contribute anything. They just immediately go into Section 8 housing. And I'm thinking, who let all these people? I love older people, don't get me wrong. I'm not the Sprint chicken myself. But I'm thinking, these people are going to contribute absolutely nothing, and everybody else is paying for them. And they're filling up all our public housing completely, and there's waiting lists for the regular people because the federal government's putting in all these people in from other countries that they're bringing in. And I think, I'm not sure, but once they reach a certain age and you get your green card, I think you get Social Security on top of that, whether you contributed to it or not.
Wow.
That's correct. Let me answer the first one. That's exactly correct. Mexico will not do anything. As a matter of fact, Mexico is at 114 million. Now, remember, I'm a math and science teacher. I know numbers left and right, up and down, back and forth. And you can check these numbers on Google. Mexico doubled its population from 50 million to 114 million in the last century. Mexico is about to add another 30 million people within the next 35 years. So there's no end to that line also. And of course, Mexico doesn't have the water, doesn't have the resources, and pretty soon it won't have the oil. And so they're just doggone happy to continue their fecundity rates. And of course, the Catholic Church is always happy to maintain the fecundity rates because it wants more people that put more money in the plate and then say, we got to save all the poor. When the Catholic Church actually is creating all the poor and the consequences. So that they don't mind, it's a status quo, let's leave it that way. Now, as far as all of these immigrants coming into this country, I mean, we're bringing in 100,000 legal immigrants every 30 days into America. What does that mean in real terms? You all have seen the Rose Bowl. or the University of Michigan, you know, the big one. Well, either the Rose Bowl or the Michigan Stadium, University of Michigan, house 100,000 people.
It's huge.
They're huge. Think about that. And the Congress, through the 1965 Immigration Reform Act, is dumping 100,000 people, the size of the Rose Bowl, into the United States every 30 days. And the great bulk of those people are going on welfare, and or if they get jobs, they're taking jobs from America's working poor, because most of those immigrants don't have, first of all, English language. Most of them don't have an education, and most of them are not prepared to function in a first world country. And notice this. Our country is becoming more and more mechanized, so that we're dumping more and more third world people into this country, or any kind of people, wouldn't make any difference, and yet less and less jobs, so that the middle class simply keeps sinking down into the new poor class. So you're exactly correct. Half of them are on food stamps, or all of them are on food stamps, and the rest are getting minimum wage. And so we're driving down the quality of life and the standard of living in America, and you're seeing it there in Spokane.
Frosty, some of these countries have billionaires that live there. I mean, billionaires. Are those people doing anything to help their own country?
No, they're not. One of the things that I discovered in my world travels on a bicycle, and again, 12 miles an hour, you see things a whole lot differently than people that just jet in and jet out of a country and see the Taj Mahal. If you got behind the Taj Mahal, you'd see a river that's filled with plastic and poisons and garbage and crap from one end of that river to the other, right next to the Taj Mahal, and yet the Indians won't do a doggone thing to change course like a deposit return on their plastics. Of course, the Americans won't either. But what happens in third world countries, whether, you know, it's like that guy Mugabe, he lives in a mansion. He starved all of his people over there in Africa, in his country, I think it's Zimbabwe, for all the years he's been in. He's like 90 years old. He's got a mansion, if you've ever seen the mansion. Well, the same thing in Mexico. Carlos Slim, one of the richest men in the world, in fact, was the most richest man in the world besides Bill Gates. He doesn't do anything for the rest of the Mexicans. They live and they work for $5 a day, and they're overpopulated, and they don't have enough water. Mexico City, go to Mexico City. It's a mess. They have to shut the water off every night after 7 or 8 o'clock because they can't feed all the Mexicans that need water. And they have over 20 million people in the city of Mexico, Mexico City. So the problem is all the rich people and all of the people of wealth in all these cities, they don't care how bad the pile of dung is below them. As long as they're in their own gated communities or in the mountain hacienda. Or in some other country, so they don't have to deal with it. And that's why the third world leaders just simply don't do anything. And that's why, as I said, the line of refugees, immigrants, legal or illegal, continues to grow by 80 million net gain every year. And that's why all of us in first world countries who have responsible birth rates of two children or less per woman, we are simply becoming the victims of everybody's total irresponsibility to their own countries.
Lisa is in Panama City Beach, Florida. You're on the air with us, Lisa. Go ahead.
Hey, I don't know if this goes on in every city, but something that's been going on here for a while is, for example, at Walmart, I shop late at night there, mm-hmm. and they bring van loads of Jamaicans to stock all of the shelves, and I didn't think of anything of it until I spoke to some of the employees there, and most of the employees, they all have their hours cut back, they're laid off, and they're having to go on unemployment, and they bring in these van loads of Jamaicans to do all the stocking on the shelves night. And also, my son worked at Publix through high school and then was still working through college. But every summer, all those people get laid off because all the Asians come in and work all through the summer. So nobody gets to work during the summer. And then we have an influx of the Russians that take all the jobs, too, because we're mainly a tourist town, even though we're pretty much year-round. We've got stuff going on now. But everybody's losing their jobs to the Russians, Jamaicans, and the Asians. And these are just, you know, Walmart, Publix stores that not really super high-paying jobs, but like high school kids or even people that are trying to raise families, and they're losing their jobs. And every night at Walmart. It's almost in the darkness of night. They bring in van loads of these people.
Are these people, do you know if they're legal or not?
Well, they work for some company that brings them in. They're all Jamaican, and there's, I don't know, 40 or 50 of them every night.
All right, let's ask Frosty about this. Frosty, are there companies that have legal immigrants like this? I don't know. And they bring them to these stores?
I haven't heard of this one. This is a new one on me. I would have to do the research before I can make a comment
okay.
on it. But I do know that here's one thing that's happened to our country. The U.S. government has been importing people, citizens from India, and they've been funding them to the tune that if you go across America today and you go to any independent motel chains, they are totally owned by Indian immigrants, which then chain migrate their own relatives to take over another motel, which they then take the borrowing of from the government. Government gives them loans. And my question is this. If you look across this country, Indian immigrants have taken over all of the independent motels across the country in the last 20 years. And why didn't the U.S. government give black Americans, African-American citizens, the same loans to take over motels and run motels? Because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to run a motel. You clean the rooms, you take care of the books, and you do what you do. But instead, the U.S. government, the Congress, your congressmen and your senators have funded all of this immigration of Indians, and that's why you see all of these Indians. And I'm not putting anything against the Indians because they just took advantage of a good deal. But the question is, why is our government, run by our Congress, supposed to represent us, leaving the African Americans out? Because the African American man in this country today and the woman, they can't get a job to save their lives. And they could have had these loans given to them to give them jobs.
I want to know where some of the foreigners who come into our country get the funding to buy convenience stores. Have you been in a convenience store lately?
Oh, yeah.
They're all owned by foreigners, by
Pakistanis,
Indians,
I'm very much aware
which is fine. But, I mean, these things cost a lot of money. Where do they get that kind of money?
Again, they're getting government loans. And the question is, why is our government that's supposed to represent us giving loans to foreigners when it should be giving loans and help to our American citizens, whether they're black, white, brown, or red? The kinds of things that are going on in this country right now, whether it's an invisible hand or it's a moneyed hand or it's a corporatocracy, it's absolutely out to destroy what it is to be an American. And it defies my understanding. But again, we need to have a national conversation to stop mass immigration and create a total immigration shutdown, because we don't need another immigrant in this country.
Wow. Strong words, Frosty. We're going to come back in a moment. Frosty Wooldridge with us. His book is called America on the Brink. The next added 100 million Americans. His website, frostywooldridge.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And we'll be back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with your final questions. Those of you on hold, just hang where you are. We'll get right to you. Welcome back to Coast, Frosty Wooldridge with us. Let's get right back to the calls, Frosty. We've got a lot of people who have been on hold for a long time. Jose in Mettler, California. Jose, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, George and Frosty. I live out here in the Central Valley. Parents came here in 88. I'm a 25-year-old citizen, and I have had this talk and try to educate all the workers that work right here at the same farm I work at, and I've been called a racist and all that stuff because I don't agree with their theory, you know? My question was, if there was to be a shutdown, and how many years would it take for the country to get stable? And in the future, would the U.S. be able to help corruption in other countries or help them out, you know, like so they could stay in their country and just us be happy here in our country and them be happy in their country? I'll take my answer off.
Okay, thanks, Jose. Go ahead, Frosty. What do you think?
That's a beautiful question, and I appreciate that question. I honor it. If we would have shut down immigration back in 1970, we would have leveled off at 255 million people. Unfortunately, we're already at 321 million people. And if we have an immediate shutdown right now of all immigration, we would still have what is called population momentum. Even women having two children or less per family, the population momentum from our 321 million people would still give us around between 30 to 40 million more people. So we're already on course just with population momentum with our population at a two children or less per family are facing somewhere between 30 and 40 million more people. So that would mean by around the mid-century, we would finally get a chance to balance and take care of ourselves and create a livable, a viable, and sustainable civilization that would go forth so that each citizen would have all of the American dream, would have water, would have energy and resources and housing and a job at a livable wage. And so that's what the figures state. But you can see even that's going to be quite a challenge, just add another 30 to 40 million people through the population momentum. But that's what the figures are showing right now, and that's how long it would take for us to stabilize. So you're talking 35 years from now.
That's a long time, Frosty.
Yes, it is. That's why, George, and I honor you so much for taking on this extremely difficult issue, because it's maddening, it's frightening,
it's sad,
it's despairing,
it's got
very
it all.
Bad, and it's not going to get solved by ignoring it any longer. And because the fact is, the American people, our leaders, our governors, our senators, our house, they're all ignoring this thing. Somebody is making sure that this equation, this issue is absolutely verboten. It's the last taboo, and we're raising it tonight. And I know millions of people out there are sitting here going, my God, this guy knows what he's talking about, and we need to have the conversation. So I'm excited about this conversation. Thank you, callers.
What if we took over Mexico? Not in a war, but we just literally said, we're taking it over. We're going to run it as a state, perhaps, and we're going to upgrade it. And we're going to, because, you know, you've got people from Texas, they may move to Michigan, but not in droves. So what happens if we literally take ownership of Mexico and make that country, maybe it's a state again, but turn it into just a mecca for people who want to visit, who want to go, who want to have fun? I mean, some of the resort areas there are gorgeous. What if we took it over? Is that doable?
Well, you'd have to take out all the leaders because the corruption in Mexico is a mechanism by which a third world country operates. I mean, you know, corruption is how Mexico operates. It's part of the DNA of Mexico. In order to change that, you'd have to have several generations, and you'd have to have you'd have to have an educational system implemented. The average Mexican only has a sixth grade education. So if you look at sixth graders, what kind of critical thinking do they have? What kind of personal responsibility? What kind of societal responsibility? And of course, the answer is not too much. A sixth grade education doesn't get you very much cognitive understanding. So you'd have to rearrange all of Mexico, and you'd have to literally forcefully remove all the leaders and then start implementing educational systems and corruption-proof mechanisms in all of the different states down there. It would be an undertaking that would be unbelievably incredible. But that's what it would take.
Well, that might work, though.
I'm open to any kind of idea. You know, and I want to thank all the listeners. I probably have at least 300 emails have been pouring in thanking me for this 2 hours with you, and I will get to each one of you. And the last time I was on the show, I had 2,400 emails within 10 hours of the show, and then another 500 in the ensuing week. So it's obvious it's a hot button, but most of these emails are saying thank you, thank you, thank you, and so forth. So, George, we've got to tackle this thing, and I'm thrilled that we're tackling it tonight.
It's critical. It
oh,
is
critical.
Absolutely critical. We go to Jim now in Toronto. Hey, Jim, thanks. Go ahead.
Yes, Frosty Wooldridge is dead on, but it's more likely. And the two questions I have, George, it's good to hear from you again. something critical with the elimination of the Posse Comitatus Act, George and Frost. It's more likely you'll have U.S. troops down there within the decade. But more importantly, the first issue Frosty hasn't addressed, he's touched on every other issue, and he's dead on, because up here in Canada, 250,000 annually, a population of 35 million, and as Bismarck used to say, you don't learn from your own mistakes, you learn from others. Frosty's traveled throughout the world. But number one, anchor baby stateside. And number two, if all this comes, if our worst nightmare comes to fruition, and George, you're hearing what I'm saying, an authoritarian, regulated, capitalistic, populist system in the United States, something like a General Edwin Walker taking over, the end of the Articles of Confederation, the end of the Constitution, and democracy going the way of the dodo bird. I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, that is a frightening but very strong possibility. One day something like that could happen, Frosty.
Well, it could. When you have a desperate citizenry, anything can happen. We've seen it in history many times. And as far as those anchor babies, yes, the American people are paying for 400,000 on average, somewhere between 350,000 to 400,000 anchor babies. There are websites that show Chinese, Indians, you name it, Mexicans, Central, South Americans, women come to this country legally and illegally to birth their child. It's a misinterpretation of the 14th Amendment. Stephen King out of Iowa has H.R. 1968 to stop the anchor baby phenomenon, because every one of those children then becomes eligible for citizenship. Immediately, they get to go on food stamps. Their mother then anchors into they're called jackpot babies also, and it is an international cartel, and it's a scam on the American taxpayer, because some of these babies, if they have a myocardial septal defect, I'm a former cardiac catheterization tech, they then cost you, the American taxpayer, $500,000 just to take care of that myocardial septal defect, or if they have any other kinds of diseases, we're paying for it. If they're preemies, we're paying for it. We need to stop anchor babies, because it's a huge draw. And then the other thing about an authoritarian, let me have you appreciate this. The greater our numbers, the lesser our freedoms. The greater our numbers, the degradation of our freedoms as a people, as communities. Notice if you get into Denver schools, we have gridlock just from 6 in the morning till 8 at night. If you go to Chicago, the gridlock is maddening. So remember this, as the numbers grow, your personal freedoms are limited. It costs you more for water. It costs you more for electricity. You have more air pollution. You have more water pollution. You have more cost of living. So we're going to be forced into even more and more limitations, and that the authoritarian kind of governance is what's going to be pushing those rules on us, and the loss of our republic will almost be sealed just because we continue to grow the numbers.
What concerns me too, Frosty, is this divide between the haves and the have-nots. The disparity gets bigger.
The disparity will continue to grow. Again, I think it's one out of three African Americans men that they can't find a job. They can't get a job. They're not even qualified for a job. And then you keep pouring in all of these 100,000, a whole Rose Bowl full of immigrants every 30 days, that depresses wages even further. So the American citizen, black, white, brown, red, it doesn't make any difference, students out of high school, a college, you name it, all of our wages will be degraded and lowered as the numbers go up.
What I'm beginning to find, too, with people, Americans, because of the frustration of all of this, that their world is shrinking, and that, and I see it here in St. Louis, people who would, in the old days, they would travel further and further out, they're not doing that anymore. They're staying as close to their little community as they can stay, where they have their home, their car, their job, and they're not filtering out anymore. Those days are gone.
Well, they are gone. And let me make a point that everyone's going to be nodding their head that's listening tonight, whatever country you're in. The more you change and displace the culture of any civilization, And let's just, if we continue on this path, we're going to add 100 million immigrants from 190 different countries, which means we're going to sociologically bring in 190 different worldviews. We're also in Denver Public Schools, where I have been a teacher and where I still operate. We have 172 different languages in Denver Public Schools. And when you combine linguistic chaos, you have to understand that people with different languages have these different worldviews. How does our American worldview, how is it going to deal with 190 different worldviews from 100 million immigrants that wouldn't know Thomas Jefferson from George Washington or Ben Franklin? And how will we stay together as a republic, and how will we vote toward the American way of life and toward a commonality? And unfortunately, we won't. We're going to lose the center of our cohesiveness as a people, not only culturally, but our ethos, and then finally our language. And then, of course, you can use the Tower of Babel as a metaphor, or you can use the example of Lebanon right now, or you can even use Paris, France. They've got different societies being created in those countries. And we won't survive it, because we're going to absolutely be at each other's throats, either religiously or culturally or linguistically. So you can see how bad that is. That's why I'm calling for a complete shutdown on all immigration into our country. We need to take care of ourselves, maintain our center, create the American way of life, where citizens are proud to be Americans and they fall into a with and in line with the American way of life and our ethos. That's how important it is.
Dennis in Philadelphia. Good morning, Denny. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, folks. Hi. Yeah, you know, this is a real passion of mine right here. So I'll get right to it. I have a question. I have a comment and a question. Number one, you know, what is being blacked out from the U.S. media here? And it's being blacked out because they don't want a backlash happening here. And that is, Europe is practically being destroyed right now. Rape has gone up over 500% in the Nordic areas, right? Rape is astronomical. 77 rapes out of 100 occur. We have, and this is being primarily done by the Muslim influx here. Right. And it's being done on purpose because, and they said this, and again, this I'm not pulling it out of the air like you say, Frosty. They have said this. Their way of turning Europe into a Muslim nation and the U.S. is to outbirth it. You send an influx in of immigrants, and then you had them procreate. And they have up to 8 children per family. And, I mean, you have pedophile Pakistani gangs running around London, and you can even verify this through Britain First, which is a group that has been battling this.
Right. I've read it.
You know, children are being raped, teenagers, women, and what is happening here is that they say that if you are raped by more than 4 Muslim men, you now become Muslim. There are areas in Europe that are primarily Muslim, that if you walk down the street and you are not Muslim, you are assaulted, you are beaten up, you are stabbed. You know, this is, we are in for a bad time here. And what is happening is that I actually think that this is being done on purpose. And you may think I'm nuts, but George, I don't know, but I would say
it is being done on purpose by a select group of people. Frosty, again, we can't categorize that every Muslim is bad, because I know many just in this country, and you know what? I would risk my life with them. But we're talking about an element, a criminal element, a terrorist element, a thug element that you will find all over this planet. Of evil people. There are some areas in St. Louis that I wouldn't go into at all because of the criminal element. There are areas in Los Angeles I wouldn't go into. Frosty, it's bad all over the place.
Well, that's correct, but I'd like to, what's the question, Denny? Because I'm aware of all of the rapes. In fact, the Islam imams there in Sweden have called Sweden the first caliphate, Islamic caliphate of Europe. And there's no question. I've read all the figures. The rapes are just going off.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the numbers are there. Denny, let's get your question in real fast before we run out of time here.
Yeah, the question is, do you think that a third world war is actually being planned to eliminate the population problem?
Ah, now that's an interesting question, Frosty.
You know, that is an interesting question. I would say this. Mother Nature is going to deal with us much more harshly than any kind of a war. But of course, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, that's the greater reality that we're going to see as the numbers go up by a billion every 12 years of the human race. You're going to see more starvation. The numbers of 18 million per year are going to double then triple. And then you're going to see wars for resources, wars for water. And I think it was Clint Eastwood who said, you know, whiskey's for drinking and water is for fighting. And California is right in line with that situation. So it's going to be a combination. The thing is, go to George Norrie's site, coasttocoastam.com, and look at the organizations that I ask you to look at. I mean, Roy Beck at numbersusa.org, you know, join that organization, capsweb.org. There's magnifiedview.com. Go to those organizations and empower yourselves so that your collective voice rings through the bells of Congress and forces this to the front. I'm ready to speak on any TV program, 60 Minutes or whatever, to bring this reality to the American people. And I need your help. So help me get there. I will speak for you. I'll speak for all of Americans and really for America itself. So that's the key.
Frosty, a minute left. Give us some info on your books and your website, please, where people can contact you.
Well, thank you, George. My Facebook page, Frosty Wooldridge, has all of my articles every week, my positive articles. I write a lot of vignettes and all of my columns that I write. And I'm giving you ground level journalistic excellence from a regular American. I'm a farm boy from Michigan, milking cows at the age of 15. So I'm not going to give anybody a bunch of baloney. I'm not sitting up in my New York office like George Will or Kathleen Parker telling you how the whole world's going. I'm telling you how it's going in your own community because I've been there. And of course, frostywooldridge.com. I have a fun website, howtolivealifeofadventure.com. I speak at colleges and environmental groups and immigration groups. You can get a hold of me, frostyw@juno.com, or my website. Again, those two websites. I write for 20 different, I even write for Libertarian, Freedom's Phoenix. I write for News with Views, which is a conservative.
All right, there's the minute, Frosty. There's the minute. Thank you so much, Frosty Wooldridge. Wow, electrifying. We shall be back in a moment. Satanic ritual abuse.